You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you again, Larry from Radio Maria, and thank you, Clara from Radio Maria, for making this all possible. And of course, God made it all possible first. We're going to begin, as we always do, with the School of Mary in prayer. We're going to be using a supplication. And the supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, as we petition, supplicate our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, welcome to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are blessed. We are truly blessed. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Yes, in these times, I think it's easier to be a saint now than it ever was. So thanks be to God for that. Mother, sisters, just a joy to come together on this beautiful day. Well, it's a beautiful day here in the Poconos. I'm not sure how it is in Italy. It's twilight
it's
there.
Raining here.
Oh, but it's raining. Okay.
It's nice. I put an I love you on every raindrop. Yeah, it's very nice. it's springtime and everything grows with the drops of rain. So we're happy about that, too.
You know, Mother, I was pondering and meditating and just thinking about, well, the program and just everything in general. And, you know, we've spent so much time and we're going to continue to do so. I think in sort of like a cheerleading mode, I mean, we're trying to bring all these truths, this gift of gifts. I mean, how do you explain it when Jesus says this is the gift of gifts? This is the product. I mean, how do you explain that without, you know, making somebody feel, you know, maybe uncomfortable? I mean, I was just listening to the program before us about, St. Teresa of Avila, and again, it was a reaffirmation. Now I know why it's so difficult sometimes for people to let things go. I mean, St. Teresa really was sort of like a preview to Louisa and preview to this divine will as with regards to the engagement, that marriage between herself and our Blessed Lord. And, you know, it's something, you know, again, I wanted to just touch on. And again, God asks us to not give up and throw away everything we've done, nor turn our backs on our devotions and whatever we're doing that's good and holy. But he asks us to pause, just like the divine will was paused in Adam. He asks us to pause our human works. And now he wants to flip the script. Remember that the saints, Mother, you whatever they did, that's who they became. So they did something and they would be whatever they did. God wants to turn that sort of upside down. If Sister Magdalena there, it's Baligdad, it's upside down in Tagalog. So he wants us to be first and then to do, because now he's giving us a greater field in which to work. And that really takes trust. And that's what I was thinking about today. And then I'm stuck on something I heard a couple of days ago, thanks to Mother Gabriel. And the quote is this: "I have found my everything in that nothing." End quote. So we pray that we can every day say, "I found my everything in that nothing." It's not what we're doing, but it's how we're doing it. It's being before doing, the other way around. It's just so beautiful. But it does take some trust, Mother. Again, I know how sometimes I have Carmelite friends that you know, they don't want to leave where they are because they believe that's where they belong. They don't want to make that jump. I mean, again, Louisa and the Gift of the Divine Will explicates Article 66. It makes everything better understood. And now we understand the life of St. Teresa of Avila, how she helped pave this highway to heaven, in essence. But it does take a leap of faith. Mother?
Well, you know, that's what the Pharisees, they didn't want to leave what they had.
That's right.
They didn't want to jump into something new. Would we have been like the Pharisees when we would have been there? We don't know. You know, would we have been believing in this new thing? Something new coming, something greater.
New and improved.
Yeah. So some people, even religious, sometimes they're stuck in their old spirituality because they think that's where it's at and that's the most important. And it's okay for them. They might grow in holiness in that. But this is such a greater gift than everything from the past because this is the oldest. This is from Adam and Eve. This is before every other spirituality. This is not really spirituality. This is life, you know. And Father Valente, I don't know if you knew him, he died. He was wonderful. We used to have him on EWTN Live. He was a great speaker. But he was very much in the divine will. And he wrote a book, From the Head to the Heart. And he said, we're not human beings. We're not human doers. We're human beings. We should be rather than do. So it kind of goes along with what you were just talking about. Father Valente had it right, you know. And he was very childlike and very simple. Some people get confused about how do you do acts in the divine will? How do you, how do you relate everything? You know, and I was trying to figure that out myself in some things here. And I was just reading November 11th, 1922. Our Lord was saying, upon coming, my always lovable Jesus, this is Louisa speaking, drew me so very close to himself within an immense light and told me, little daughter of my will, this immense light that you see is my supreme will, from which nothing escapes. You must know that as I created the heavens, the sun, the stars, etc., for all, I fixed the limits, the place and the number, and they can neither increase nor decrease. I hold all things in the palm of my hand. In the same way in creating man, at the same time I created all intelligences, and each thought, all words, works, steps, and all the rest of a man, from the first to the last who will exist. And this was as though natural in me, more so since I myself was to be the actor and spectator of even one thought. So God is the actor and spectator of every one of our thoughts. Since man could not be able to do it without me, how could I not know it and know also their number? So he knows everything you do. You don't miss it. He doesn't miss a beat. I mean, even when you go to confession, you have to, if it's mortal sin, you have to confess how many times you did it. God knows how many times you did it. It says here, he knows also their number. He knows the number of your thoughts. He knows everything you're thinking, everything you're doing. So you don't hide from God. Therefore, all the works of the creatures swim inside my will, just as the fish swim inside a vast sea. However, having created, and he goes on to say, I wanted to endow him with freedom. I was free. Free he was also to be. Besides, there is nothing that tortures a person more than to give a forced love, which causes diffidence, suspicion, fears, and almost disgust in the one who receives it. So he wants us to freely love. Our free will is a gift. He doesn't take that free will away from us. Our free will is to prove our love for him. He gives us that freedom. And our will, we hopefully will become one will with his. That's living, that's divine will. Our will and his will become one. Do you see where each act of creature, even one thought, has its origin in the sanctity of my will? With this difference, that if man wants, he can do that very thought, word, etc., well or badly, in a holy way or wickedly. Now my will, grieved in seeing the acts of many of which it was the actor, changed into deadly acts for me and for them. Therefore, I wanted that my will, becoming the double actor of each act, lay another divine act over all, which was to repay me with as many other divine acts according to the sanctity of my will. So what he did is he did an extra divine will act over each one of our acts. He duplicated it. However, someone was needed to do this. And here is my humanity. So he had to become a man in order to redo all of our acts in a perfect way. However, someone was needed to do this, and my humanity, holy and free as well, which wanted wanting no other life than the divine will swimming in this immense sea, went on redoubling each thought, word, and work of creature, and laid an act of divine will over all. So he laid a divine will act over each one of our acts. This satisfied and glorified the divine Father in such a way that he was able to look at man and open the doors of heaven to him. So heaven would have been closed had he not come and redone all of our acts for us in a perfect way. And I bound the human will more strongly, leaving it always free not to detach from the will of its creator, since detaching from it had made it fall into many disasters. But I was not content with this. I wanted my mama, holy as well, to follow me in the immense sea of the supreme volition, and to duplicate all human acts together with me, placing the double seal after my own on the acts done in my will upon all of the acts of creatures. How sweet it was for me, the company of my inseparable mother, Mama, in my will. Company in operating makes happiness, delight, love of tenderness, competition, accord, and heroism arise. Isolation produces the opposite. Therefore, as we operated together, myself and my dear Mama, seas of happiness, of delight on both parts, and seas of love arose, which, competing with each other, dived into each other and produced great heroism. These seas arose not only for ourselves, but also for those who would keep us company in our will. Even more, I could say that these seas turned into many voices which called man to live in our will, to give back to him the happiness, his original nature, and all the goods he had lost by withdrawing from our will. Now I come to you. After my celestial mama, I called you so that all human acts may have the first seal done by me, the second done by my mama, and the third by one creature of common stock. My eternal love would not be content if I did not raise one of common stock, who must open the doors to those who would dispose themselves to enter these gates in order to live in our will. And how grateful we have to be to Louisa. It's Louisa's birthday Sunday. How old? 150.
158.
So we have to be grateful for all she suffered so that we could enter into this divine will, because he needed her to do a third divine acts to lay on top of all the others. This is the reason for my many manifestations, for the many values and effects which I made known to you about my will. These will be powerful magnets to draw you and then others to live in it. However, in order to enter our will and follow the sublime flight of my acts and of those of my indivisible mama, being of common stock, you could not enter our will if you did not have or had at least been transformed into the nature which came out of my hands. Before man withdrew from my will, here are then my many graces in order to restore your nature, your soul, to that original state. As I kept giving you graces, I removed you from the seeds, the tendencies, the passions of the rebellious nature, always leaving you free, your free will. So he does the same thing with us. As we live, try to live in his divine will. As we do acts and rounds in divine will, we receive more and more graces so that we can enter into that original state where our passions, our bad tendencies, the rebellious nature that we have goes away. It fades away. Just like Louisa. He's not just talking to Louisa here. This was for all of us. He gave this gift to Louisa and talked to her directly, but meaning it, why would he give this gift just to one person? Mm-hmm. It's for all of us. Having to call you into the center of my will to live a communal life in it and to make you cover all the acts done by me which are not yet known by creatures, it was necessary to restore your nature to this happy state for my decorum, sanctity, and dignity. Otherwise, you would not have run with me in the interminable acts of my will, nor be with me with that familiarity which is needed in order to operate together. The passions, the seeds of tendencies, which are not good, would have been like many bars of division between me and you. At the most, you would have been at the commands of my will, like many of my faithful ones, but you would have been very far from doing what I did, and neither you nor I would have been happy. While living in my will is precisely this, to live completely happy on earth, to then move on to live more happy in heaven. Therefore, I tell you, true daughter of my volition, first happy birth from my will, be attentive and faithful to me. Come and live in my eternal volition. My acts await you, wanting the seals of yours. Those of my mama await you. The whole of heaven awaits you, wanting to see all of their acts glorified in my will by a creature of their own stock. The present and future generations await you to be given back the lost happiness. Ah, no, no, the generations will not end until man returns into my womb, beautiful, dominant, just as he came out of my creative hands. I am not content with just having redeemed him, even at the cost of waiting. I will still have patience, but he must return to me as I made him by virtue of my will. By doing his own will, he went down into the abyss and transformed himself into a brute. By doing my will, he will rise and acquire the new transformation into the nature created by me. Then will I be able to say, I have accomplished everything. The order of the whole creation has returned to me, and I will rest in it. So we should take all the acts that our Lord did, all the acts that our Lady did, all the acts and rounds that Louisa did, and take them as our own. You can do it over and over again. You don't just say it one time. I mean, do y'all say that over and over again? I take all that Jesus did, all of our Lady did. You know, he did everything for us. I mean, even when I go to communion, I say, Jesus, you received this communion from me. I want to take that act of you receiving this communion in me right now and receive it with you and love you with your own love as you loved yourself when you received it. It's all, he already did it for us. He just wants us to take it. It's like you said, we have to be, and he does the doing, but we accept his doing in us. That's the doing that we have to do. Our doing is to accept his doing in us.
I agree, Mother, with that. But you know, Mother, it's another thing also to recognize. Okay, I'm going to take my cheerleading uniform off now and put on my reality uniform. But we can read these passages, we can study them, we can memorize them, but we have to remember that this is a gift. This is nothing we can earn. We can't finish the volume and say, okay, I'm done. Where is it? This is a gift. And we know mystical gifts are not given equally. They're not like our baptismal gifts. They're given to whomever God chooses, when he chooses, to whatever extent he chooses. So our job, and you help us with that, Mother, all the time, is to move God. And that's not us saying it. Jesus says it. He says it in volume 23, November 27, 1927. My daughter, that which is most, not one of, that which is most necessary in order to obtain this gift of the divine will is to move God. And you mentioned, Mother, that he moves us with these writings, waiting for our response, that connectivity. Again, correspondence is between more than one. So it's Jesus speaking, Our Lady speaking. We must say, yes, I want what you want. Because the second of those most important, one is to move God. Second is to ask for the gift. I think you mentioned that also, Mother. So move God, ask for the gift, and it will be given. It's really easy, but it's so vital that we do that in order to receive this. It's available to everyone. He made it accessible. He said that also. Where is that? He said that in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. He said, quote, my daughter, Louisa, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, may be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible and available in all conditions, all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So we don't have to go looking for it. God has come looking for us, and he's found us. He's waiting for our response. Father, sisters.
So right. You just have to desire it. But you know, it's you have to read the volumes over and over again. I read them maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe
13 That's how we get times. Moved, right?
Yeah. But even, you know, I read the Divine Mercy book, and it's beautiful, and I'm touched when I read it. But then after I haven't read it for a while, I kind of forget. You have to go
Absolutely.
Back. This is the kindergarten of divine will. We're kind of stupid.
Yes, you're right.
We have to keep reading over and over again to refresh our memory, to inspire us again, to move us again.
Right.
So you never stop reading it. You don't read it all once and say, well, I'm finished now. Where's the gift? You know, so it's something that you live in all the time.
Very true.
And you read over and over again all 36 volumes. You never stop. And I also try to read the Passion book every night, a few minutes, right. because it's very important to also meditate on his passion. That's you can grow right. in holiness meditating on the Lord's passion.
Yeah, well, in short, he says he wants us to make this our life because, in essence, this is our life. Hello, Sister Francesca. Oh, we have a...
Hello, let me... this time I'm going to say... Yes, yes.
Sister Magdalena?
Yes, yes. Thank
hello.
You. Hello. Oh, hello, everybody. Just to quickly say something about what Mother shared earlier, you know, talk about you moving God and him moving us. I just would like to share with you briefly about this... about Louisa's suffering, because you said, Peter, that in volume 11, that this divine will, reading the divine will, understanding it, it is applicable to all, whether you're educated or uneducated, rich or poor, everything. And what is common to all humanity? Suffering. So I would like to talk about suffering because Jesus suffered on his passion. Even after his resurrection, when he appeared to his apostles during the resurrection, did he remove his wounds? No. Even after his resurrection, he retained all of his wounds in himself. Thomas felt it. So there is no way we would run away from our wounds. And Mother mentioned earlier about our gift to God is our will, our human will. He doesn't take away our human will. And what is that human will? Our willingness to really live in the divine will, and that includes suffering, because it's easy for us to do an act and rounds on happy times, on good times. Oh yeah, I can do that. But when it comes to suffering, it's difficult for us to admit that and want to run away from it. We want to do everything we can to avoid that. And that is, like you mentioned earlier, moving him and to give him our human will to do and to live and to be what God wants us to be. And I would like to share briefly, because we don't have that much time left, September 19, 1900, volume 4. And this is about Louisa was suffering so much and she wanted to hide her suffering. And then when her confessor came, he said, oh, I want you to manifest your pain, your suffering. And he said, okay. So she, out of obedience, she did that. But anyway, so this is the brief conversation between Jesus and Louisa. So Louisa said, Blessed Jesus tolerated me on coming. He said to me, you suffer very much. Do you want me to free you? And I, forgetting for a moment about the obedience, this is the obedience to your confessor to manifest her pain instead of hiding it. So Louisa said, no, Lord, no, do not free me. I want to come. So this is human will, Louisa's human will. And then she said, besides, you know that I don't know how to love you. I am cold. I don't do great things for you. See, this is Louisa's humility. At least I offer you this suffering to satisfy for what I am unable to do for love of you. So even in our suffering, if we let go our human, even, you know, this is my human will, Lord. I want to give it to you. I want to accept this suffering out of love for you, not only for myself, for my own life, but for everyone. And then Jesus said, this is what Jesus said to her, speaking of grace, gift. He said, and I, my daughter, will infuse so much love and so much grace in you that no one may be able to love me and desire me as you do. Aren't you happy? So this is the exchange of love. Louisa says, no, I want to do this to love of you. And she said, oh, well, and on my part, I will give you all the graces that no one can even say greater than this. So so many things we can really read the volumes. And also living in a divine will, mentioned Mother earlier, is also not only that it is healing, it's also a form of exorcism. This reminds me of an exorcist, he died now, Amarth. He said the best exorcism is to go to confession. So not only confession, all the sacraments, receiving communion. Mother said, receive this communion in me, Jesus receiving it in me. When you do everything in God, everything is exorcism. Everything is healing. Everything. We don't need anything else. But to believe in the teachings of the church, believe in the sacraments, believe that Jesus is truly in our church. He is our head. We are the body. We allow him to live in us. I mean, the books is so rich. We just have to read it. Mother said, read it over and over because then we forget. So it's very important. Suffer well, live well, be that person God created you to be.
Bravo. You know, you mentioned Father Amorth, who is the chief exorcist of Rome, who died a few years ago. And just FYI, Father Inuzio has a program on Saturday at 12 noon on this Radio Maria. He was the assistant, one of the assistants to the chief exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, for many, many years, and great stories he can tell on that. Mother, we're going to go into the break now. And, you know, I think, again, taking the cheerleading uniform off and trying to bring this to reality, And I think we're attempting to do that. I think we're okay on it so far. This is everything. Again, we need to get to the point where we can say, I have found my everything in this nothing. Not what I'm doing, not what I have, not where I've been, and not where I'm going right now in the moment. And this is, I'd like to share something going into the break that was given to us. I'm not sure if he wrote it or if he just shared it with us from Father John Owen Brown. And this is beautiful. Quote, it's as if we were in a destructive, unhealthy situation, a demeaning love relationship, or an unfulfilling job. And after all the denials and rationalizations, we're struck by a moment of clarity, and it suddenly pops. An alternative has come into the world. There's no more balance sheet, no more judicious weighing of the various pros and cons. We just leave because we know we have to. Because now, thanks to Louisa, we can. End quote. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
To burn, I've seen. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Clara, from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will. I want to take a quick, brief moment here just to talk about Radio Maria. The history. Radio Maria was born a parish radio in 1983, and if my math, Sister Francesca and I were talking about math, I have fuzzy math. I did that really poorly in that. I think it's about 40 years now in this 2023. Started in the Diocese of Milan to help keep parishioners informed. Well, they've succeeded in doing that, and now grew to over 77 stations in the world, broadcasting in 65 languages. But there are no commercials. We're not selling anything. But we do need help. We do need your prayers, and we do need your financial support. God knows which of the two you can do, or if you can do both, that would be great. So please, if you can, call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or simply go to radiomaria.us. And if you can make a donation, that would be great. And any donation in any amount, hopefully a monthly recurring, which would be the most gracious to do, which helps Radio Maria figure out what's coming in next month. But anyway, that makes a donation today. Or if you listen to this on the archives, just mention the School of Mary, and we will send you a relic card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. And we know how important relics are. The woman hemorrhaging perhaps instituted the relic by touching the tassel of our Lord and was instantly healed. And there's a contact information on the back of this card. So when, not if, you experience your miracle, you can contact Corrado and register it. So please, if you can give, 888-408-0201, mention the School of Mary and the relic card, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. Mother, I remembered Kevin, the program director at Radio Maria. I remember what he said one time when I was on with him for a couple of moments. I think it was during one of the fundraisers. He says, "This guy," meaning me, "I get to sit every week with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will." And I just was thinking to myself, I've got the greatest job in the world. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. Thanks be to God.
You're so sweet there.
No, I'm not, but I...
We feel it's a pleasure to be talking to you here, because you've got so much to say, and we learned a lot from what you're saying. So, no, we're happy to have you there and just be sharing with us all that you want to share. God bless you.
Cheerleader. That's all I am. Hello, sister. Jacinta.
Hello. So, as it was mentioned earlier in the program, it's really important to, keep on rereading the volumes again and again, because every time I feel like I read and reread a passage, Jesus is revealing something new to me, and Jesus wants to do that with all of us, because there's a lot of hidden treasures in these passages. And I also feel like the more acts and rounds we do, the more that we'll become closer to the likeness of Jesus. So the passage I like to share today, it's from May 5th, 1923. "One who lives in the divine will opens many ways between creator and creature." And it's from volume 15. So in the beginning of this passage, Luisa saw another heaven, but it wasn't like the heaven that we see now. And the heaven that she saw, it was all of gold. It was studded with stars of different colors. And these stars, she mentioned, they were more like refulgent than the sun. And then this is what Luisa says. And this is what Luisa wrote. "While I was doing this, a voice came out from within the immensity of this light, saying, 'As many times as the soul enters into the divine will in order to pray, work, love, etc., so many ways does she open between creator and creature. And in seeing that the creature is making her way to go to it, the divinity opens its ways in order to meet the creature. In this encounter, she copies the virtues of her creator, absorbs ever new divine life into herself, penetrates more into the eternal secrets of the supreme volition, and everything she does is no longer human in her, but divine. These divine works form in her a golden heaven, in which the divinity strolls, delighting to find its own works in the creature, awaiting the creature in order to receive her divine acts, and therefore open for her more ways in its divinity. And it keeps repeating with great love, here it is. Here is how the creature comes closer to my likeness and my will, how she accomplishes my designs, how she fulfills the purpose of creation. And as I heard this, I found myself inside myself. So connecting this with what I said earlier in the beginning of this passage, the heaven that Luisa saw, it was an interior heaven of the soul. And I don't remember exactly which passage it was, but Jesus told Luisa to make sure that the heaven within our soul, the stars in the heaven within our soul aren't less than the stars that are created up above. So that means that all these acts and rounds that we do, they're more interior stars that we place in the heaven of our soul. So Jesus can stroll and delight in our soul. And also, something else I like to mention is what was said earlier by Mother. We're called to be, not to like do, because we can tend to be very busy with life. And in that way, when we're too busy and like when our mind is too occupied and worried, then we end up forgetting to do like acts and rounds, because Jesus wants us to always be in peace. And the more peace we have, the more we can like hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so also the purpose of doing acts in the divine will, it can help us to have a deeper personal relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with each of us. And we have to all have faith that every time we do acts and rounds in the divine will, our deep personal relationship with Jesus is increasing. And we'll see the effects of our acts and rounds in the divine will, if not in this life, then in the next life. And Jesus is hiding it from us now, because if we were to know now, then we would die of joy. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. You know, sister, you mentioned hidden treasures, and that's so true. All of this is hidden. And when something's hidden, it needs to be found. That's where our work begins. You know, again, we've talked about this on other programs. Nothing we have done in our lives have qualified us or gotten us to a level where we deserve this gift. It is a gift given freely by God. But once the gift is given, once the introduction is done, then our work begins. Because then we need to dive. We need to find those hidden treasures. He gives us secrets. Remember that Our Lady and our Lord talk about secrets? And secrets in our modern day vernacular is sometimes nefarious. It's not good. But this is what the language of heaven explains. Our Blessed Mother explains what is a secret. Quote, "A secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a humble compliment. God is giving us, Our Lady is giving us these secrets because they feel we have been disposed enough to receive them along this journey. Again, we're getting Band-Aids, and that's why all the saints in the past, and if we're a Carmelite, Saint Teresa of Avila gave us a Band-Aid on the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Now we're in the hospital. Guess what the hospital is called? The gift of the divine will. Sister?
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Sister Gemma. Buonasera.
Hello. Buonasera. It is true. The divine will, it's a gift. And I was reading actually today about Jesus was telling to Luisa that the divine will is a gift, and he will give it to whenever he wants and to whoever he wants. We need just to ask and to pray for it. In fact, I found a passage, passage on volume 30, that it say three necessary conditions in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will. And Jesus says, "My daughter, to know my divine will is the greatest thing that I can give and that the creature can receive. Therefore, it is necessary to ask for it. By asking for it, she disposes herself. She forms within herself the royal palace. By asking for it, she acquires the love in order to love it. And as one asks for it, the human will loses its ground. It is debilitated. It loses strength. So we really need to ask for the divine will. And as Jesus here say that the more we ask, the more our human will be debilitated. So this is a way also to become humble. If we really want to be humble, we need to ask, and then our human will be slowly debilitate. And then later it say it takes the disposition of both sides in order for us to give our celestial gifts. How many gifts do we want to give, but because they are not asked for, we retain them within ourselves, waiting to give them when they are asked for. And when I was reading this this passage, few sentences, I was thinking of a story that Mother told us, and probably she already told you also in about Mother Angelica. And it was the prayer that Mother Angelica was doing, I don't know if every day or when, but anyway, she was taking all the graces of all the people that people will reject the graces, and she will take all. So we can, yeah, she was, the mother was suggesting, she was asking, and today it's also her 100th birthday. So yeah, the graces are there. It's for us to be asked, because Jesus is a gentleman, so he will give us everything that we need, but also if we ask. So how many times we lose patience, and there is a grace of patience there waiting for us to come upon us, but because we don't ask, that patience that we need in that moment, we don't get it because we don't ask. Or maybe if it's a rough day, and I'm sure there is a lot of grace for that rough day to waiting to be taken, but we won't get it because we don't ask for it. So it's we need to remember to ask for the graces. And then the three condition are the first indispensable necessity in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will is to ask for it with incessant prayers. So if we really want this gift, we need to ask. Then the second necessity, more indispensable than the first, in order to obtain this kingdom, is necessary to know that one can have it. And the third necessary means is to know that God wants to give this kingdom. So we need just to ask for this, for the kingdom, the divine will to reign. We need to ask. We need to believe that Jesus will give it to us, and then we need to also know that he wants to give it to us. So yeah, let's keep asking for the kingdom of the divine will to come on earth, and it will come.
Amen. You know, it's so interesting too on how Jesus says the same thing in a myriad of different ways. It almost sounds like he's contradicting himself, because he said before the most important is to move God. And now, okay, well, now the most important is to ask. But if you think about it, it's the same, because as we ask, we articulate our desire to God, which moves him. So God grabs us from all these different angles, no matter where we're facing, north, south, east, or west. He's got us as long as we want to be captured by him. Right, Sister Elizabeth?
Yes, that's exactly like that. And also, sisters were telling before, it's not about doing. It's not that we can kind of do something, but more like being, and with our lives, no. And I mean asking, but not like you were saying, Peter, at the beginning. You know, all these devotions and practices, but. Yeah, the most the divine will, living in the divine will, is like covers it all. So I was just reading in volume 34 from June 18, 1937, about Jesus is telling Luisa about the divine commerce, and how important it is, like how strongly it moves God. Only the simple prayer from the heart of giving oneself completely to Him, like of giving your whole life to Him, just like, you know, like you're standing kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just saying that. Jesus tells to Luisa, every time the creature, she gives herself to us, we give her the merit that she has given us her life. So every time you say that prayer from the heart, Jesus, I give you my life. And if she gives herself 10, 20, 100, 1,000 times and even more, so many times we give her the merit of, as if she were to have given us as many lives for however many times she has given herself. And as many times we give her our life, we renew hers in ours. We repeat for her the good. Rather, we increase it for however many times she has given herself to us. And so much is our satisfaction, the pleasure that we experience when the creature gives herself to us, that we are so very liberal toward her, that many times we give her the merit of possessing as many divine lives. And by locating hers, we give her the merit of as many lives for however many times she has given hers. And Jesus continues, this is our divine commerce we want in order to give ourselves. We give ourselves in order to receive the life of the creature in our Supreme Being. This exchange of lives maintains the conversation. We make ourselves known for who we are. We let her feel the ardent heartbeats, the love that consumes us, how we love her and how we want to be loved. And then if she did not feel the need of continuously giving herself to us, it is a sign that she does not love us, and her heart is not in possession of our irresistible love. This is the sign of true love, to want to always give oneself, almost in every instant, to whom one loves. But while she gives herself, the strength of love imposes itself such that she wants to receive, and if she did not receive, she would feel suffocated and burst into cries of sorrow as to deafen the heavens and earth. And therefore, in order to not arrive at such straits of sorrow, my love waits for the creature to give herself to me, and I immediately give myself to her with all the infinity of our will. So this is what all saints have in common, to give their lives, to give themselves, you know, completely. We mentioned Mother Angelica, her 100th birthday is today. She did that. I mean, all the saints, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, like that's the one thing they all have in common. The other things, the other, you know, kind of distinct things they all have, they're all like the specialties of love they have for God. But this is the you know, the one common thing. They were giving themselves completely to God.
Thank you, sister. You know, you mentioned the word commerce. You know, Jesus uses that word commerce very often. And it's so interesting if you think about it. You know, I was a business major. In commerce in the world, you know, everyone can have $1 million. And if nobody spends any money, there's no commerce. There's no infrastructure. There's nothing. It's when that exchange of money occurs, that's when you know, things start to happen. Same with God. God's giving us his love. And if we just take his love and say, thank you, Lord, and leave it at that, yes, but we haven't commenced commerce. Once we take that love and give it back to God on the level of God, due to God, only possible through this gift of the divine will as he's elevated everything, that is the commerce he's talking about. That is the fulfillment of our relationship. That is the oneness. That's the mystical marriage in essence. And that's everything of all the saints, including Sister Saint Teresa of Avila, what they all talked about. And now the explication, the full breadth of what was mentioned in the past is now being brought to fruition through the gift of divine. It's the culmination of everything that's good. Mother, sisters.
Wow, Peter, you just like segued perfectly into the passage I was going to read. I actually want to share a passage from Daniel O'Connor's book, his latest book, Thy Will Be Done, The Greatest Prayer, The Christian's Mission, and the World's Penultimate Destiny. It's a really, really great book. I recommend it to anybody who wants to learn more about the divine will and kind of how the church, how the Lord has been preparing the church, has been preparing the world from Adam and Eve, you know, all the way up till now for the gift. He really does a great job. And I was reading today, it's page 172 of his book, where he writes the message in a nutshell, and I just thought it was awesome and a good way to kind of close us out here. So he writes, "At this unique moment in the history of the world, the fitting time has at long last arrived in which God wishes to give us his own will, the gift that contains every imaginable gift, the true crown and completion of all sanctity, both in heaven and on earth. This gift entails not only the grace to do God's will perfectly, but also the total immersion of your human will within his will, so that this divine will becomes the life principle of your soul, even as your soul is the life principle of your body. It is the holiness enjoyed by Adam and Eve before the fall, by the blessed in heaven and by the Blessed Virgin herself, though none can ever compare to her. Within this gift is all love, invincible joy, and perfect peace. Within it is absolute assurance of salvation. Within it is total deliverance from purgatory. Within it is God's infinite pleasure. Within it is the complete victory of every noble mission in one simple principle. Within it alone is the full realization of man's creation in the image and likeness of God. Within it is the culmination of deification, the fruitfulness of mystical marriage, the aspiration of the unification of wills, and the essence of Marian consecration. Within it is the full triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You cannot earn this gift or merit it. You can only allow God to give it to you. And in exchange for his divine will, he asks only that, in addition to continuing to do everything you are already doing as a Catholic striving after sanctity, you lovingly and trustingly relinquish the tiny pebble of your own human self-will. Whoever you are, no matter what, it is easy to allow him to give you his will, to allow him to give his will to you. Simply say with sincerity, Jesus, I trust in you. Thy will be done. I give you my will. Please give me yours in return. If you strive to converse with him continually in this manner, always endeavoring to mean those words more and more deeply each time you recite them, then rest assured that he has given you his will. Although your journey in the divine will has only begun, the victory already permeates your every step." We're limited on time, so I can't keep reading, but it's just so beautiful. And I just kind of thought of what, you know, you've been saying, Peter, and what the sisters have been saying.
Tell them where to get the book.
I got it at a retreat where Daniel O'Connor was, but I think you can find it on Amazon. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll be able to find his book. I highly recommend it. But as I was reading this passage, I was thinking, like, it's perpetual receptivity. We just have to be in a constant position of receiving that fatherly love that he's just dying to give us at every moment. Like you said, Peter, just taking that love, embracing it, adding the little drop of our love, which is everything that we're capable of, and returning it back to God. That's what living in the divine will is. And just the second thing really quickly is, as Daniel said, it's the beginning of a journey. So don't be hard on yourself. Don't, if you feel like, well, I haven't arrived at the fulfillment of the mystical marriage, it's a journey. You're on it. You know, God is going to get you there, and he knows how to do it. So just trust him. Just keep yourself open, ready to receive his love and love him in return.
Amen. Yeah, it's like being in that ambulance, you know, bringing us to the hospital so that we can be healed forever. It all depends also, sister, on a mother. Do we believe what we're reading? Do we believe Jesus? Do we trust in him? We just celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday. Do we trust in Jesus? He gave us that motto, Jesus, I trust in you, for a reason, for this very reason. Mother, we've got 30 seconds.
Just keep reading the Divine Will writings and doing acts and rounds in Divine Will, and you will get there. This journey will come to a perfect end for you if you do that. Amen.
Amen. You're so right, Mother. It really is. It's so simple. That's what makes it so difficult. We really try to overcomplicate. I'm going to end with two quick quotes. One goes perfectly with the passage Sister Francesca just read. This was from Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. This is Jesus speaking, quote, "The mission of my will was the purpose of the creation of man," end quote. If we believe that, drop everything like Matthew did and follow Jesus, follow this divine will. And the last but not least, Volume 14, August 23rd, 1922, quote, Jesus speaking, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it. End game. We finally arrived. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother and Sisters. Buona sera. Have a great day. Ciao. See everyone, God willing, next week.